Chapter 1.
Charles,
Matilda whispered, and kept her eyes glued to the broken snippets of smoke in the distance.
The scientist has escaped. She's finally gotten away from the Queen.
Wait, I muttered, trained my eyes toward the smoke, and blinked out of confusion. What do you mean? How do you know that, Matilda? We had just captured Granum, and now we were celebrating the defeat of the great Marchioness. Behind me, my men and monster women drank and ate their fill at large tables. I'd never heard their voices filled with such joy in the time I'd known them. When I glanced behind me, I spied the rest of my women at the long table together. Daisy, Cleia, and Cecilia sat at the table at the back with their heads leaned together, and I could tell from the fast movement of their lips they were thoroughly engrossed in their current conversation. I wasn't sure where Valerie, Edeny, Ryan, and Josephine were, but I figured the other four were somewhere close by. Earlier, I'd seen Matilda rush out, and I followed her out of curiosity, but this was a shock I hadn't expected. The scientist had escaped the Queen and was now on the run somewhere across the country. Instantly, I turned back toward the green-haired woman as she began to speak again with her eyes trained toward the dark sky.
I don't think I've told you this,
the desperado muttered.
But there are more of us than you thought. I have the 5 women I keep along with me on raids, but I have 3 other groups of 6 or 7. We keep them on main posts just outside of certain cities, and we contact each other through smoke signals. My contact in Tulna just received the word the aristocrats are sending more guards to the capital. The scientist has escaped.
How did she? I asked, and scanned the broken-up gray smoke in the sky. Did they say?
It's smoke signals, Charles,
the green-haired woman snickered.
They can't really write out full paragraphs. What's going on?
A familiar voice asked from behind me, and I turned toward the 3 monster women standing in the doorway of the Marchioness's manor.
Is something the matter, Charles?
Valerie asked, and her bright blue eyes glittered with worry. The ash blonde stepped forward and clutched her elbows tightly in her palms. Her face was small, her nose slightly upturned, and her cheeks rosy from the copious amount of alcohol she'd just consumed. The feline woman wore a tight-fitting jumpsuit in a deep chocolate brown that matched the color of her sleek ears and tail. The ash blonde was average height, but her hips were wide and her breasts large and full. Edeny stood to the left of the cat girl, and the she-wolf towered over her sisters. I had to admit, the Duchess was the most striking of the 3. Her features were sharp, even more pointed after the transformation with the vicious Raiju. Her pointed white and azure ears lifted into the air, and then the left one laid flat against her colorless hair. Her long, fluffy white tail stood at attention, and her attentive violet eyes stared into the darkened sky toward the masses of smoke that lazily drifted toward the clouds overhead. The Duchess was the most shapely out of all of my women, except for Cleia, who, by far, had the largest breasts I'd ever seen. The she-wolf's breasts were big for her stature and size, and they jiggled as she slunk forward toward us. Valerie skipped with her hands held behind her back and her chocolate-brown tail swinging out behind her.
What is that?
The wolf woman asked in an awestruck tone. It's smoke signals, I explained. The other desperados stationed around the edges of the desert, specifically the ones around Tulna, have reported to Matilda that the scientist has escaped the clutches of the Queen.
Really?
Ryan barked, and then threw her head back with bellowing laughter.
That's fantastic, isn't it, Charles? We can finally meet up with her and see her genius in action. I wonder if she'll be just as intelligent as you.
The imp woman's swollen, pregnant stomach poked out even more than before, and if you truly looked at her now, you'd know she was heavy with child. The imp woman's skin was tinted a light red, and her long, sleek hair was the color of oil. Her large yellow eyes always burned with the brightness of stoked coals, and as she moved forward with her sisters, her coiling black horns brushed at the sky.
We've seen her masterful work,
Edeny purred.
Matilda's horses, and even her arm. But I will say this. I doubt anyone will ever reach the level of genius and intelligence Charles has. He is a master of his trade, but I'm sure he and the scientist have plenty they can learn from each other.
What do we do?
Valerie slurred and blinked her blurry blue eyes.
What can we do, Charles?
I turned toward Matilda, and the green-haired woman squinted up toward the sky. The desperado seemed to be decoding even more of the smoke signals as they lifted into the air. and finally she broke away with a low whistle.
Whew. They believe the scientist has made it back to her submersible,
the desperado breathed in her deep twang.
They were hiding it in the palace in one of the tunnels, but she somehow managed to get down there and steal it back. She's a wily one, I'll tell you that. The canals,
Edeny whispered, clutched her chin, and thought for a long moment.
There are three different cities the canals are connected to. Rizel, Magneta, and Tulna. They are the biggest suppliers to the capital. That's why they have the canal. It's used to easily transport goods to and from. Not only that, but they also have a complicated ferry system for the citizens.
So, if she got her submarine back, I thought aloud, she could go to any of those three cities. Or she could stay in the capital, which I doubt she will do.
Well,
Matilda chuckled.
I wouldn't stay in a place where I know people were searching for me. That's why me and my girls kept a good distance away from Valestia. They were out to kill us. But as I explained before, that damn magnetic woman would have sucked me and my damn metal arm right in.
So,
another voice uttered from behind us, and Josephine slinked into view with the Drake Legion closely behind her.
What's the plan?
The honey blonde's orange cat-like eyes were intent on my face and never broke the contact for a long minute. I glanced in between the group of Drake women's shoulders and watched as my soldiers shoved food and drink into their mouths. Some of them were slumped over the long tables, out cold, while others sang in loud choruses with their beer steins lifted into the air. We can't tear them away now, I explained. We promised them a day and a half of rest, and I'm not about to break that. They're loyal to me, but a promise is a promise. They deserve this. They've worked hard to earn these few days off, and I won't take that away from them. They're nearly breaking their backs for us and our cause, so we'll leave them be for now.
Just because they're resting,
Valerie smiled,
doesn't mean we have to.
You're goddamn right, I chuckled, and my hands at my side slowly curled into tight fists. We need to show them we're working just as hard for them. So I think we should take this time and prepare to leave. So that means we'll transform all of the aristocrats while they're celebrating.
Now wait a goddamn second,
Matilda boomed and tore her eyes away from the dwindling smoke signals. Yes, I laughed and swiveled toward the green-haired woman.
I know I haven't been a part of this party for very long, but I've seen the way you operate, Charles Rayburn. You're pushing yourself to the edge of exhaustion. Look at your eyes. You're nearly keeled forward from the weight of those bags under your eyes. Now, listen to me, because I know a thing or two about the desert and the cities that lay on the edges of it. If that wily scientist is heading to one of those, it'll take her a day or two to get there. Sure, the water moves pretty fast, but there are always boats and blockades getting in the way. So I say we take a few days off, you get some fucking sleep, and then we transform the aristocrats before we head out into the burning desert again. I can see it in your eyes, Charles. You're tired. You need to rest just as much as your soldiers do.
Edeny, it seems you've been rubbing off on everyone around you.
Then I'm glad.
The she-wolf nodded, crossed her arms over her chest, and cocked her hip out.
You're running yourself ragged, Charles.
I breathed in deeply and finally felt the exhaustion rush over me. They weren't wrong. I was pretty tired, and a good night's rest would probably do me a world of good. If what Matilda said was true, the scientist would reach one of the three cities by the time we packed up and headed that way. But that left one unanswered question. What city was the scientist heading to, and how would we figure that out? Fine. I will rest, but I need all of you to stop being so pushy about it, all right? I'm a grown man, and I can tell when I need to relax and when I can keep pushing on. But this isn't going to be a day and a half of full relaxation, do you understand? Let's go inside, sit down, and hash out our plans.
Thank you,
Edeny breathed, and the rest of my monster women nodded along with her. I turned back toward the manor entrance, glanced around the room for a quiet place to talk, and found an empty table with only a few passed-out soldiers around it. The group of us hurried toward and sat down close together. Edeny, Ryan, and Josephine sat down across from me, but the Drake Legion stood slightly behind their leader with the yellow eyes intent on my face. Matilda and Valerie sat on either side of me, and the green-haired woman leaned forward on an elbow.
So?
The desperado uttered.
Looks like you've got something you want to say, specifically to me. So, go on, speed it out.
I laughed loudly and nodded along with the green-haired woman's words. Because of the twang in her voice and the blunt, straightforward way she talked, I hadn't thought the desperado would have been as astute, but I was very, very wrong. "Let me explain first," I stated. "We scientists are creatures of habit. We're very particular about the way we like things. If we find a spot we like, we settle down for good. As most of you know, I used to be an alchemist, and people who work in that trade move around a lot. I hated that part of the job, and I only went to a few different cities, but that was only if I had to. When Entity found me selling my wares in the street, I'd been in that spot for months. My camp was directly behind me in the woods, and when I finished up for the day, I'd pack up my stuff and go back. Then, when Edeny moved into the manor, I had the option to live in different houses around the city she owned. But as soon as I stepped foot into the house, I knew I wasn't going anywhere. I'm sure this scientist is exactly the same."
"So, she has a home base?"
Matilda questioned. "Something like that," I nodded. "A part of the city or even the canal that's most comfortable for her. Does that sound familiar, Matilda? A place where you either saw or ran into her multiple times?"
"Yeah. Actually, it does,"
the green-haired woman nodded.
"As I said before, we'd usually stop inside the city before we raided it, so we'd know the lay of the land. She was in Tolna. There's this part of the canal where it drops down below the level of the busy street. There are some stairs down to a walkway. I think it's where most of the boats dock, but there are a few vendors down there, although most of them are pretty shady. When we decide to raid cities, we have to know every single street. Even the alleyways most inexperienced robbers wouldn't even think about. So we walked past her submersible, and she just jumped out at us."
"You said you saw her there multiple times?" I asked.
"Yeah."
The desperado nodded along.
"We visited Tolna multiple times to make sure we had the whole map drawn out, and she was always there. Days before we were going to attack, finally, she approached us, asked us what we were doing there. And then once she'd gotten to know us a little better, she offered to build the horses in my arm. Of course, as you can see, she did. But after we attacked Tolna for the things we needed, she disappeared. She told us she had to go pick up supplies from a merchant in the capital, and we warned her not to go."
"Why not?" I asked, leaned against the tabletop, and stared deeply into Matilda's eyes.
"You haven't heard?"
the green-haired woman asked, and then swiveled her eyes to look at each person in the face.
"You didn't hear the decree the queen sent out? Even we saw it, which is kind of funny because we're all the way out in the middle of the desert."
"We haven't exactly been paying attention, Matilda,"
Valerie giggled.
"We've been busy taking over cities and transforming aristocrats."
"Well, I guess that would take up a lot of your time and attention,"
the desperado laughed and shrugged at the same time. "What did the decree say?" I probed.
"The queen was looking for scientists,"
the desperado explained.
"The decree didn't exactly say why, but there was some threatening verbiage in the written words."
"What do you mean?"
Edeny asked.
"What did it say?"
"Something like..."
The green-haired woman paused, tapped her chin, and then continued.
"If you know someone is a scientist, and they haven't willingly volunteered, report them to the Royal Guard. When we visited Tolna, soldiers were patrolling and looking for people under that profession. But the scientist said they'd never catch her."
"Yet they did," I broke in, and the desperado nodded sadly.
"We believe she was caught in the capital. We saw her the day before we attacked, and she told us she was getting out of there so none of her sciencey stuff could get damaged. She could have been stopped along the way, but her submersible was nearly invisible once it dropped below the surface of the water. You could see its shadow, but it just looked like an enormous fish or something like that."
Matilda fell into a long silence, and all of us stared at her for a moment. I slowly realized the desperado blamed herself, even though there was nothing she could have done to prevent the scientist from being taken. Without hesitating, I turned in my seat and grasped her hand in mine. I ran the pad of my thumb against the soft back of her hand, and Matilda nodded as she accepted the comfort.
"They could have taken her along the way to the capital. But I fully believe they captured her once she arrived inside of the capital. They probably discovered her profession at the security check,"
Edeny broke in, and I lifted my eyes toward the she-wolf. "Security check?" I asked.
"Well, the scientist isn't the only one who has a submarine,"
the wolf woman uttered.
"I know there are a few aristocrats who commissioned scientists to create them, but from what you've described, the scientist's submersible is much larger than these. The ones the aristocrats want, they're usually pilotable by one person. Kind of like a buggy, but underwater. They're like those fancy penny farthings. Or are they called high wheels? Penny farthings?
Ryan asked, and immediately Josephine cleared her throat.
Mm-mm. They're a type of bicycle,
the heiress explained.
They have a large front wheel and a smaller one at the back for balance. Only the richest aristocrats have them. Say, Edony, didn't you have one too?
I did,
the she-wolf laughed.
But it was quite ridiculous looking, so I barely rode it. Not only that, but why would I go anywhere on that thing? I had a carriage specifically for transportation.
But there have been multiple times that people, specifically the harlots,
Josephine went on,
have tried to smuggle things, even people, into the capital using these submarines. So they put in security checks to check these submersibles coming into the city. They most definitely caught her at one of the security checks. Unless there are secret passages to get inside. I could reach out to my contacts inside of the capital, but they're a little busy right now.
What do you mean?
Matilda asked.
Oh!
The Drake woman gasped.
I almost forgot. You've been primarily working in the middle of the desert. Some of my women, the harlots, took it upon themselves and attacked the capital. They've taken over a good bit of the seventh borough, which is the capital market area. I know there used to be secret tunnels through the canal into the city, but I think the Queen found out about them and either shut them down or posted guards down there to catch anyone who tried to sneak through. So either way, she would have been caught.
If she escaped, I pondered, she wouldn't have left the capital without her submarine. I don't know her personally, but that submersible is her pride and joy from what you've said. I can only assume she built it herself, and there is no way she'd leave it behind.
I don't want to say this,
Edony whispered and then leveled her gaze with Matilda's.
But there's a good chance the Queen dismantled it. I don't know for sure, but it's a possibility. The Queen is cruel, and she loves to hurt those she keeps prisoner. If she didn't, she at least threatened or said she did it to break the scientist.
Matilda, I uttered, and the green-haired woman immediately whipped her head in my direction. When do you think your subordinates will have more information?
I can only assume my other women received a letter,
the desperado explained.
And they passed on the information to me through the smoke signals.
A letter? Like when the Queen held her prisoner and she trained pigeons to deliver them?
Yes,
the green-haired woman nodded.
But before she was imprisoned, her letters were delivered by a different bird. If you can even call it a bird.
What? I asked, scrunched up my nose and shook my head. What do you mean?
It's like something I've never seen before. The front half of it looks like a hawk with these beautiful speckled feathers and deep browns, oranges, and yellows. But the back half of it looks like a goddamn cat, tail and talons included. I ain't never seen a bird like that before.
By science, I gasped as my eyes instantly widened and I stared down at the rough tabletop in front of me.
What is it, Charles?
Josephine asked.
Does that sound familiar to you? Should we get Daisy over here? She is our resident creature expert.
No, I shook my head. I think I know what it is, but it can't be. It's impossible. They're supposed to be extinct. Matilda, what size is it? Is it small or is it impossibly huge?
Nah.
The green-haired woman shook her head.
It's about the size of a toddler, maybe a little bit bigger. A lot bigger than a normal cat or a hawk.
Then it must be... I trailed off, and then a wide grin spread over my face. A griffin! A baby, or an adolescent at least.
Those are supposed to be extinct,
Edony breathed.
Funny thing,
Ryan laughed.
I looked into one of Daisy's books, and so are imps. But here I am. I can tell you for sure imps are not extinct. From the number of babies my mother popped out, they're probably overpopulated by now.
That's true, I nodded. All right, despite this amazing discovery, let's get back to what I was saying earlier. So, Matilda, the scientist, primarily stayed in Tolna?
We only saw her in one specific spot.
The green-haired woman nodded.
Always on the docks. Sometimes she'd sell wares, but sometimes the submarine was completely closed up with a single light on in the window.
My best guess is Tolna is the only place where she feels comfortable, I explained. If I were on the run in a foreign city, I'd return to Edenheart, probably even the exact street where I set up my shop. The Queen probably has no idea where the scientist came from or where she would go to if she escaped, so our best bet is to head to Tulna. We'll search there for her, and I'll bet we find her without much trouble.
Charles?
Edeny breathed, and I knew from the expression the stunning she-wolf made, what she was about to say wasn't going to be good news.
Tulna will be difficult.
Do they have fortification too?
Valerie asked.
We have cannons, ballistae, and catapults. We could use those against the walls and bring them down.
No.
The desperado shook her head gravely.
We've been there a few times, and it is far too big for our siege weapons. It's not just a fortification. It's massive. It's more than 20 feet thick, and even if we manage to get through that, there's soldiers and battlements on the other side. Then another wall that's 10 feet thick. The siege weapons we built will take too long to break through the walls, and if we did that, there'd be the risk of the Queen sending her guards out to investigate. My women and I have had that happen a few times, and we've had to beat a hasty retreat before they showed up.
If we can't go through, I pondered, then we'll have to figure out another way to get into the city.
We could go over,
Valerie offered with furrowed eyebrows.
No, that won't work. There's far too many of us, and we could possibly die, either from the guards or landing on the other side.
Then,
Ryan grinned evilly.
There's only one way we can get inside, isn't there, Charles?
A wicked grin crossed the red-skinned one's face, and I saw the evil glint in her eyes. The black-haired beauty leaned back in her seat, knit her fingers, and rested them against her bulbous, pregnant belly. It seemed the imp woman and I had the exact same train of thought when it came to our plan. If we couldn't break through the city's fortifications, and we couldn't climb over somehow, there was only one more solution. Yes, my dear, I nodded along with her. We dig underneath it.